Hello everybody, it's George from Ireland, so welcome back to my channel. And commenting on the by-election results a couple of days ago in the United Kingdom, three by-elections, all three in England, Somerton and Frome, which is southwest in England, Uxbridge and Rice and South Ruislip, which is in London, the northwest corner of thereof, and Selby and Ainsty, which is in Yorkshire, Yorkshire being the major county in northern England. So all three seats were Conservative held, and in all three cases, The member of parliament resigned. Of course, if Johnson hadn't resigned, the by-election would have been triggered anyway by the Privileges Committee suspending him for over 10 days. And they gave him this nominal suspension of 90 days, but that was solely academic since he'd already entered the Chiltern Hundreds. Now, since the early 17th century, technically, MPs have been unable to resign, but we do say resign. They can only, they're disbarred from Parliament if they hold an office of profit under the Crown, such as being bailiff and great chamberlain of these Chiltern Hundreds, which is some sinecure. The Chilterns, this line of hills just northwest of London and Buckinghamshire. And so if you are the titular steward and great chamberlain or whatever it is, bailiff and great chamberlain of the Chiltern Hundreds, then automatically you're out of Parliament. Now, why don't they just stop this bizarre, anachronistic rigmarole and simply officially say, yes, you can resign, because that's the language people use. That is the legal reality. Anyway, so the other two MPs stood down, embroiled in scandal. Now, I wrongly called Uxbridge and South Ruislip for Labour. They were the main challengers to the Conservatives who held the seat. Of course, it's the quondam seat of Alexander Boris Pfeffel Johnson, Bojo, because the Conservative and Unionist Party won that by 15 percentage points in 2019. And the Tory Party is now down 15 points since the last general election, showing that it was neck and neck. Now, Johnson had a personal following. There are people who didn't like the Conservatives, but did like Johnson, and so voted for him as an individual, not the party. With Johnson gone, that attitude had disappeared. I mean, okay, Johnson puts off a few people, but, you know, until recently, he attracted far more than he repelled. It might be the opposite way around these days. And so nobody was going to have this personal allegiance to Mr. Tuckwell, the Conservative candidate in Uxbridge and South Ruislip. Now, the salient issue there was ULEZ, the ultra-low emission zone. The mayor of London, Sadiq Khan, who's a Labour man, said he's expanding that over the whole of London. So unless you've got a low emissions car, it's going to be, £12 a day to drive anywhere in London? That's highly contentious. Uxbridge and South Ruislip being on the edge of London, more people have cars. In central London, very few people have cars because public transport is everywhere. You're never more than 500 metres from a bus stop or a kilometre from a tube station or railway station. It's difficult to find a parking space. If you can, you pay through the nose to park and blah, blah, blah. But people on the edge of London, that's inapplicable. Moreover, they're driving out of London more of the time. So that was a highly contentious issue. And the Conservatives came out dead against ULEZ, despite the Conservative Party being supposedly committed to stopping climate change. Well, you know, you can't have your cake and eat it, as Johnson would always try and do. I mean, if you want to stop climate change, we're going to have to live less well. That's been blatant for 20 years. But not many politicians have the cojones to tell us that. We're going to have to make driving more expensive. We're going to have to use less energy, turn down the thermostat, put on a woolly jumper, pay for more insulation, fly less, buy less, all the rest of it. It requires sacrifices. So Labour sensed this could be a winning issue for the Conservatives. So Labour, the Labour candidate, he had hedged on this one, but then he decided to bet the bank on being anti-ULEZ, going against the Labour mayor. Now, admittedly, the MP for Uxbridge and South Ruislip, whichever party he or she represents, in fact, the main candidates were all male, would have absolutely zero control over ULEZ. That's completely within the purview of the mayor of London. But people saw it as a way of sending a message to Sadiq Khan, don't do it, because it'll lose votes for Labour. So nonetheless, the Conservative candidate scraped home by 435 votes. So it was not quite the drubbing the Conservatives were fearing. They did lose the other two. And the worrying thing for them is Selby and Ainsty in Yorkshire. The Conservatives had won that handily, been a safe Labour seat by well over 10,000 votes. And so that was won by Labour. It had been Labour in the 90s. And then in Somerton and Frome, the Liberal Democrats romped home. Of course, in Uxbridge and South Ruislip, the Liberal Democrats performed very poorly. It was sort of a paper candidate. Yes, they fielded a candidate, but he made almost no effort. There seems to be this unspoken agreement between Labour and the Liberal Democrats not to spoil each other's chances of unseating the Conservatives. Likewise, Selby and Ainsty, the Liberal Democrats, yes, they had put forward a candidate, but he, I think it was a he, made almost no effort. The Lib Dem big names didn't go there, partly because they're saving their fire for the real target seat for them, which is Somerton or Frome. So it's in North Yorkshire, where Yorkshire is a fairly Labour county, but the countryside is less Labour, so it's good for them. So the Somerton and Frome, that's the really worrying one for the Conservatives, because they held that for quite some time. But it's a rural area, a Brexit voting area. So the Labour victory in Selby and Ainsley, that is a good one, although they didn't win even by that much. So Keir Mather, he's the new Labour MP. He's the baby of the house, age only 25. He's an Oxonian, even had a master's degree in public administration from Oxford, has worked, I think, for Wes Streeting, a Labour MP, for a few years. So he's never done anything outside politics, which is just typical for Labour. What can you bring, what experience can you bring to the outside world, can you bring to Parliament? Absolutely none. So I think it's deeply unhealthy. And this is almost exclusive on the Labour side. People who've studied politics, fine, but they work in politics all the time. They haven't been in journalism or teaching or business or the legal profession or the medical profession or anything or the armed forces. So they really can't contribute. But Keir Mather, like Sir Keir Starmer, he was christened in honour of the founder of the Labour Party, Keir Hardie. In Somerton and Frome, the Conservatives had won it since 2015, been Liberal Democrat before that. And the Lib Dems did very well. They won 55%. They not just overturned the Conservative majority, they got a huge majority of their own, 11,000. Selby and Ainsley, the Labour majority is now over 4,000. So they've got 46% vote share. And Labour hasn't won that one since 2010. Uxbridge and South Ruislip, the Conservatives have held that since 2015. And the Conservatives got 45% of the vote, Labour just behind them on 44% of the vote, and the Lib Dems are like a measly 3%. Remember, you have to get 5% of the vote to retain your deposit. If you wish to stand for Parliament, according to the Representation of the People Act 1983, you must put in a £500 deposit. And if you fail to secure at least 5% of the valid vote, you lose your deposit. Supposing you clear that 5% bar, it's returned to you. The purpose of that is to be a discouragement to an excessive number of candidates. Having, you know, the major parties and a few more, 10 or 20 candidates, that's all right. We probably don't want 99 candidates because the ballot paper will be that long, be confusing, trying to find the one you want, and the party name's too similar and the surname's quite similar. I remember somewhere up in Westmorland, there were the three major candidates, they all had the surname Collins. Until the early 70s, it didn't even say the party's name. It was the candidate's name. You had to know the candidate's name. There was no ballot paper description. It wouldn't say Labour, Conservative, Liberal Democrat, SNP or whatever. So that there is crumbs for comfort for the Conservative and Unionist Party. Uxbridge and South Ruislip saying this is not quite as bad as we might have thought. The Conservative policy has always been to damp down expectations and then rather exceed them. So expectation management. Another thing about this is 13 years into a government, 4 years since the general election, one would expect the ruling party to be in the doldrums, and indeed they are. They're 16 months out from a general election. There's time for things to recover. Inflation has gone down. It's now 8%, which is still bad. There's being a big pay award to public sector workers. The strikes may be petering out. The world economy may be getting better. The war in Ukraine might end. Really, things can only get better. Is that enough to secure a Conservative victory next time? Probably not. The political weather vanes are all pointing to Labour's way. But, you know, Labour might be worried that they actually didn't win in Uxbridge and South Ruislip, the kind of place they need to win to get a convincing majority. They'll probably get a majority, but maybe not the thumping one that some have been suggesting. So Labour's a bit worried that this single issue campaign about ULA has worked against them, that Sir Keir Starmer is really uninspiring, and that other parties, they can be a bit oppositional in places where Labour are seen as the establishment, because obviously Labour's dominated London for a century, and okay, Boris Johnson was mayor of London for 8 years, but you know, Greater London Council, when it existed, and so on, London County Council, was Labour dominated since the 1920s. And indeed in Wales, where Labour's won everything for a century and won all six elections to the Welsh Parliament. So Somerton and Frome, there's a new Liberal Democrat MP there, their 15th MP. Remember, they only had one, so they only had 11 MPs at the last general election. They've gained four in by-elections since. So this lady has been elected to Parliament. So They, all their candidates, all their activists were there. They just forget Selby, forget Uxbridge. They threw everything into Somerton and Frome, and that worked for them. They managed to canvass 15,000 households on polling day. Elections are always on a Thursday there. So that's good for news there. But so let me see. There are other things that Nadine Dorries, the Conservative MP, she said she was going to resign a seat in Mid-Bedfordshire. She hasn't actually done so. She might back out. The Conservative Party is pleading with her behind the scenes not to do so because they can't face another defeat and they may well be defeated there. It should be a very Conservative area, a fairly prosperous area of rural southern England, the sort of place which is natural territory for the Conservatives. Somerton and Frome in southwest England, remember that was fertile soil for the Lib Dems. It was the only place that was close to being a regional stronghold for there. Of theirs, you know, Devon North, that was Jeremy Thorpe's constituency, and Paddy Ashdown, their leader from 1988 to 1999, he represented Yeovil, since both seats are Conservative. I can't remember any of the leaders from down there. And so Southwest England had about 5% of the UK population, but about 25% of the Liberal Democrat MPs had long been like that. And actually, they were annihilated as a parliamentary party in southwestern England in 2019, so that hopefully this is some sort of resurrection for them. Right, so thanks for watching my video. Make sure you subscribe on Patreon and make sure you donate on PayPal, georgecallahan79@gmail.com. Toodle pip.